2 days before Christmas, 1938, Jack Cross dropped his duffel bag into the tender, kissed his wife Margaret, and hopped down from the quayside into the boat. Although this was a regular occurrence for the 63-year-old keeper of the Wyre Lighthouse, this time it felt slightly different. This would be the 11th year in a row that Jack would spend Christmas at work, on the lighthouse 2 miles off the coast at Fleetwood in Lancashire. It was a Yuletide dedication to duty that had, over the previous couple of weeks, earned him a small degree of fame. There was a photographer from the Lancashire Evening Post there to see him off, which is why Margaret had her best hat on. But the previous week had been something a bit special. Jack had been invited down to London to be interviewed about his decade of absent Christmases on BBC Radio's magazine programme In Town Tonight. It was a daunting prospect for Jack. Lancashire born and raised, a man who'd spent his life mainly on a trawler or in a lighthouse. But down he went, and he was glad that he did. "I was a bit nervous when I went to London," he said afterwards. "I don't think I'd have gone if I didn't have my wife with me. But as soon as I got to the BBC, they put me at my ease right away. I wasn't a bit nervous by the time of the broadcast, and I'd never been in front of a microphone before." After Jack's interview, he and Margaret were shown to prime seats for that night's variety show, going out live on the home service, were put up in a posh hotel, and pretty much had the time of their lives. "Nothing I've ever done has been as thrilling as that," said Jack. But now, on a windy quayside, deafened by screeching seagulls circling the trawlers, it was back to reality. If the tide was in, Jack would be rowed from the tender to the lighthouse. If it was out, he'd have to trudge across the wet sand, carrying supplies, a keg of fresh water, a sack of coal for the fireplace, a watertight box of tinned food. The Wyre Light was a house built on sand. First lit in 1840 to warn ships away from the sandbanks beneath the surface, it was a rickety-looking thing. 6 iron legs driven into the seabed, supporting a platform with a small hexagonal wooden building where the keepers lived, and the light itself at the top. Inside, the accommodation was pretty basic. Just a living room, a dormitory with 2 bunk beds, and a store cupboard. There were 3 windows, 1 fireplace, and 1 door, access to which was via a 40-foot ladder covered in barnacles. It didn't seem like somewhere you'd want to spend an afternoon, let alone Christmas. But Jack just loved being a lighthouse keeper. He'd run away to sea when he was 11 and spent years on fishing smacks and trawlers, but by the time he turned 50, the physical demands of commercial fishing were taking their toll. So he joined the lighthouse service and was stationed out at Wyre, doing 2 weeks on, 1 week off, and happily spending a decade of Christmases out there in the estuary. It's hard to know what appealed so much to Jack about life on the Wyre. The lighthouse was at the mercy of vicious southwesterlies coming up the Irish Sea, some of which could go on for days. The whole structure would sway, the wind finding its way up through the floorboards so fiercely it would sometimes rip through the oilcloth they used as a carpet. On calmer days, the keepers would pass the time making rugs and mats for their homes. They'd take lengths of old rope, unpick them, and spin them into a hard-wearing yarn, weaving while the old wireless donated by the Royal Mission to deep-sea sailors crackled away on the table. During his BBC interview, Jack had thought about that radio, and the keepers on duty hearing his voice even though he was hundreds of miles away. What a marvellous thing, he thought. Otherwise, that was pretty much the routine. Even at Christmas, it consisted of poking the fire, unpicking rope, weaving mats, tuning the radio amid washes of static, and checking on the lamp above their heads. It wasn't always just weaving and lamp-checking, mind. Jack had lost count of the number of rescues he'd coordinated when ships had run aground on the sands during the storms. One night in 1931 he was on duty when the lighthouse was shaken vigorously by a series of violent tremors that were felt right across the country. In the spring of 1936 he'd stood at the railings and watched the German airship the Hindenburg pass right over the lighthouse, a vast black silhouette blotting out the stars. Flying so low, the engines made the structure throb in a way that resonated deep inside Jack's chest. That all made a change from the birds, anyway. The keepers' only companions. One seagull in particular would visit so often, Jack christened him Billy, and fed him pieces of bacon and bread from the palm of his hand. "I got used to the loneliness," he told a reporter ahead of his departure. "Of course our thoughts go back home, especially at Christmas, thinking about what our families are doing. But we can quietly amuse ourselves, if we're lucky. Some years, when it's blowing a gale, or it's foggy and the foghorn's blaring, we don't get any sleep, let alone a Christmas." As the tender pulled away, Jack stood at the stern waving to Margaret as he headed for his home away from home. A man so happy in his work, he described his rotor as 2 weeks' holiday, followed by a week's rest. He'd be retiring in 2 years. He had mixed feelings about that. It was strange to think the lighthouse would go on without him. It would turn out to be a short retirement. Jack died in 1942, and as for the lighthouse, it burnt down one night in May 1948. The blaze watched by Whitsun holiday crowds gathered on the beaches at Morecambe and Blackpool. The iron framework would survive the fire, but the keeper's accommodation was never replaced. They put a beacon there instead until 1979, when a buoy was positioned nearby. In 2017, part of the structure collapsed, leaving just a few forlorn iron rods angling out of the sand. But that was all a long way ahead, that blustery day at Christmas 1938. As the boat steamed towards the lighthouse, Jack looked down at the one concession they'd have for the season. The London, Midland and Scottish Railway, who ran the lighthouse, had sent a Christmas hamper containing a goose, a Christmas pudding, some mince pies and a bottle of beer each for the two keepers. Jack looked up at the approaching lighthouse and thought about how he'd only have one more Christmas there, in the place that defined him. "I wouldn't mind a spell ashore with me old Dutch," he told the reporter. "But it's not long till I retire. Then I'll have my first Christmas dinner at home in 12 years. It'll feel strange, yeah, but I think it'll feel good." That was A Coastal Story, written and presented by me, Charlie Connolly. You can find us on Facebook at Coastal Stories Podcast and find me on Twitter at Charlie Connolly. Attention All Shipping, A Journey Round the Shipping Forecast by me, is available from all the places you'd expect.